Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of the Beverly Nation, the 103rd edition. It is News Forum and I am your host, Lonnie Beverly, and I'm here with my correspondent, Lovely Ellis.
Hello, 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 everyone. Welcome to News Forum.
And now the news. In a story some are already bearing resemblance to the Trayvon Martin case, a homeowner in New Orleans has been arrested and charged with attempted second-degree murder after he shot an unarmed teen after he said he thought the boy was trying to break into his home. 14-year-old Marshall Coulter is in critical condition tonight after being shot in the head by 33-year-old Merrick Landry around 2 a.m. Saturday morning. Police, the New Orleans Times-Picayune report says that the teen was shot near Landry's car. Friends told the outlet that Landry's car was behind the gate. According to the arrest warrant reviewed by the Times-Picayune, Landry said he approached Coulter with in his front yard near his car. But as he drew closer, he said the boy made a thwart move as to reach for something. Fearing it was a weapon, Landry shot him once from about 30 feet away. The report also says that the New Orleans Police Department Detective Nicholas Williams interviewed a witness who offered a different account, but it's not clear on what that account was. Still, Williams determined that Coulter posed no imminent threat and was not trying to enter the house. The advocate has a long quote from the report. The victim was not armed and was not attempting to enter the residence, was not posing an imminent threat to Merrick Landry. The incident is terrible, and Mr. Landry feels terrible about how things occurred. Landry's lawyers, Michael Kennedy and Miles Swanson, said in the statement, "Nevertheless, we remain convinced our client has done nothing wrong, and we are sure, as the facts come to light, it will become clear that Mr. Landry will be fully exonerated from any wrongdoings." Landry posted a $100,000 bail late Saturday and is out of jail at this time. He works for the city as a building inspector for the Historic District Landmarks Commission, but has been placed on suspension without pay. As for Coulter, his brother admits he does have a history of theft. He would steal. He was a professional thief, sure, David Coulter told the Times. But he would never pick up a gun, not in a million years. He was too scared to aim a gun at the grass, let alone aim it at a person. No way. Before he ever pick up a gun, he'll be your friend first. He's still a little boy, he added. Who pulls a trigger on a 14-year-old? What if it was your brother, or little sister? How would you feel? I love Marshall, Clarice Keller, a friend of Coulter's older brother Brandon, told the advocate. I really just see him being with the wrong crowd, trying to fit in with the wrong people. He's not crazy. He's not stupid. He's just a follower. Now he has a big hole right now in his head. But adding to the complications is the existence of the surveillance video from a neighbor and a friend of Landry's. This was Charles Huzari, who may show Coulter and another boy around 1:44 a.m. in front of Landry's yard, chasing it out. Emphasis added. Huzari, who owns property near Landry's house, said his surveillance cameras captured two juveniles riding BMX bikes up and down Manville and Dauphine Streets around 1:44 a.m. One of the teens was wearing a blue tank top with white stripes. The other was wearing a light-colored T-shirt, Huzari said. Early in the evening, a different neighbor said the teen in the blue tank top had been biking around the area around 8 p.m., and the neighbor believed he was looking at different houses. I thought about calling the cops, but the last thing I wanted to do is racially profile a little kid who's just biking, said the neighbor, who spoke on condition of an anonymity. But the neighbor and Landry are white. The two teens are African-American. Who's already said in his video, which he gave to the New Orleans Police Department, detective shows the two teens talking in the middle of Manville Street outside of Landry's house. The video also shows the teen in the light-colored T-shirt walked his bike across Manville toward Landry's house. Then the teen walked back out to the middle of the road before climbing over Landry's fence, who's already said. The other teen in the tank top stayed on the other side of Manville Street. Okay, Landry's lost dog started barking, which alerted Landry to the teen being inside of his yard, according to Landry's friends. Quickly, some have seized on the case as bearing close resemblance to Trayvon Martin, the shooting in Florida. a case where the shooter, George Zimmerman, was recently exonerated. The New York Times, as well as the New York Daily News, for example, says Landry has been charged despite citing the state's castle statutes, which are similar to Florida's stand your ground laws, and were used as a defense by George Zimmerman for his trial in the death of the 70-year-old Trayvon Martin. However, Florida's stand your ground laws, okay, were never cited by Zimmerman's defense. The case holds an uncanny similarity to last month's sensational George Zimmerman murder trial, where the former Sanford, Florida neighborhood watch captain was acquitted of murdering an unarmed 17-year-old Trayvon Martin, the Daily News writes. Marshall, one of eight children, is still in critical condition but is making progress. Family told the Times today that he could move the right side of his body, but not the left. Before we go into lovely Alice's correspondence, I really want to talk about this tonight before we go there. Lovely,
yes.
This is a very, very, very deep and sad story once again coming out of NOLA, the nickname for New Orleans, Louisiana. And please respond upon this at this time on News Forum. But first, before you do, we are out of Roslyn, Pennsylvania, 347-202-0392. You can call us right now at News Forum. Lovely.
Thank you, Lonnie. Lonnie, my opinion with this story, it is definitely a very horrible one. It seems like we have people who are, again, using the law for the wrong reasons and justifying the things that they do. I believe that these youth were racially profiled, and with the Trayvon Martin case and even with George Zimmerman being found not guilty, I believe that a lot of people feel like they may have the law on their side to do the wrong things, and I'm really concerned about that. I hope we don't have any copycats similar to the George Zimmerman and Trayvon Martin situation. So I do declare that it sounds like we may have some copycats, or at least people that's trying to use the law for the wrong things and justifying doing the wrong thing.
Well, you know what, though, Lovely? You know, I don't want to be devil's advocate here. And we all know that that young man did not deserve to be shot.
Right.
On early Saturday morning. But let's look at it this way. This is not Trayvon Martin. This is not Trayvon Martin. Trayvon Martin was minding his own business. He was walking down the street, and this guy followed him when he was told not to. Mr. Marshall Coulter, why did you jump over the gate? Now, I'm going to be honest now. You know, people say, oh, no. Marshall Coulter, why did you jump over this man's gate almost at 2 o'clock in the morning while this man is asleep? Now, did the man deserve to shoot you? No, we understand that. But did you put yourself in position to be shot? Yes. Let's keep it real, okay? What are you doing in that man's locked yard at 1:44 in the morning? Now, I talked to a lot of people around town here in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and a lot of people said they would have shot him too. And let me tell you something. Somebody's pulling at your door, especially here in the city of Philadelphia, which is the sixth largest murder capital in the United States. Let me tell you something, Lovely. Anybody pull at my door at 3 o'clock, they better come with flowers, because it might something might happen, okay? Because I have a young man here. I mean, think about that. I mean, Someone's pulled at your door trying to get in or jumping over your gate, and you see them jump over your gate, and it's late at night. I don't care what time of the day it is, but it's late at night. Did the young man deserve to be shot? No, we understand that. But did the young man put himself in a precarious position? Yes. And now on to the correspondency of Miss Lovely Ellis.
Thank you, Lonnie. And, yes, I do agree. They did put themselves in harm's way. And to be honest with you, after hearing the story again, I probably would have bust a cap in his myself. However, in other news in Philadelphia, all I can say is kaboom. In South Philadelphia, there was a blast that occurred on exactly Monday, July the 28th, 2013. City officials have determined an explosion that caused three homes to collapse in South Philadelphia, injuring eight people, including two small babies and a teenager. Wow. Officials say the explosion was caused by a natural gas leak. Investigators were expected back on the scene Tuesday morning to determine exactly what caused the leak. Officials also say 428 Daly Street, which is where this occurred, was a permitted construction site. The fire marshal, the Department of License and Inspection, and the Philadelphia Gas Works are all investigating the cause of the gas leak, and PGW has shut off gas service to that block. Action News has also learned that four construction permits have been pulled for 428 Daly, where the house is investigated. LNI says the work for three of the four permits was complete and cleared by inspectors on last Friday. The remaining permit was for electrical work. One of those injured in the explosion was a contractor working on a water heater in the basement of 428 Daly Street. He is listed in critical condition with burns over 22% of his body. He's being treated at Temple University Hospital's burn unit. One witness, Michael McGraw, who saw the contractor shortly after the blast, said, quote, "There was a fellow who was all burned up and the firemen were hosing him down with a hose." He also added, "He was really in bad shape." Witnesses nearby heard the blast, stating that it occurred around 11 a.m. The babies who were injured, including a one-month-old and a three-month-old, both of which were from different households. Several residents said they smelled gas prior to the occurrence of the blast, and most residents of the north side of the block had been allowed back to their homes, expecting that those directly across from the collapse site. Monday's collapse came less than 2 months after a collapse at a Center City, Philadelphia demolition site, which we all remember. This killed six people and injured 12 when a large wall fell on an adjacent thrift store. The machinery operator has been charged with involuntary manslaughter in that case, and a grand jury is weighing whether anyone else should be charged. Lonnie?
Well, you know what, though? That is a very, very sad situation. And once again, we understand that LNI is going to be in the eye of the media at this time. And guess what? License and inspections, get yourself up and ready for a news conference later on tomorrow. And here we go. I'm very, very, very pleased tonight to have our host from Peripheral Vision, Antonia, back. Antonia, how are you tonight?
Well, I guess
you're
going to
be later on.
Lonnie Beverly.
All
and
right.
How are you? Lovely,
right.
Ellis.
Good to hear from you. Yes, indeed. Always a pleasure.
Both of you.
Now, you're breaking
fine.
In and out a little bit, Tony. Mm-hmm. You're breaking
okay.
in and out, so I'm going to put you back on. I'm going to put you back on a little while, Tony. You're breaking in and out. Give me 1 second. All
thank
right,
you.
We'll go right on. Tony, hang on there, Tony. We got you. Don't worry. You're going to be on this show. Enjoy News Farm right here from Roslyn, Pennsylvania. And now, back to the news. At least 8 employees, 4 of them critically, were injured after 7 large propane tanks exploded late Monday night in a gas plant in Tavares, Florida. Officials said, sending humongous flames and smoke into the sky. The tanks at the Blue Rhino gas plant, which is about 40 miles west of Orlando, began exploding around 11 p.m. Monday. Authorities initially reported that 15 people were accounted for, but later they said that they were found, according to Lake County Sheriff's Office Lieutenant John Harrell, who addressed reporters in an early morning news conference. There have been no reports of fatalities. The Blue Rhino plant refills propane tanks, usually used for barbecues and other activities. For people from very far away and in town, 6, 7, 8, 9 miles, 10 miles from there, were reported feeling their homes shaking, Harrell said. Tavares Fire Chief Richard Keefe said officials believe the explosion was an accident and caused by human error. The Orlando Regional Medical Center said that it received 3 male patients who were listed in critical condition and being treated for burns. Fans Hospital said it was also treating one person in a critical condition. Fire officials said 24 to 26 people were scheduled to work at the gas plant when the explosions and fire broke out. Blue Rhino executives told ABC News that all scheduled employees have been accounted for and are alive. Lieutenant Harrell said the workers who escaped the plant were toward the front of the property, which is separate from where the explosions took place. But you can definitely see the fire across the lake. It was humongous, even from 7 miles away, McCormick said. You could hear the explosions one after another, and it would continue to explode. A fireball would shoot up into the sky. There were 53,000 20-pound cylinders at the gas plant where the explosions took place, officials said. I heard tons of booms for at least 30 minutes. Mount Dora resident Blake Cottle told ABC News affiliate WFTV-TV. Officials said roughly 50 homes in the area were evacuated. Harrell said an evacuation zone was initially a one-mile radius, but it had been reduced to a half-a-mile radius. First United Methodist Church in Tavares has opened their doors to take in family. There is no more information to suggest to the public that they should be concerned about the propane in the air, Harrell said. Authorities said they are not worried about any damages to other properties, but it will give a better look at the surrounding areas later this morning. Police were checking on reports of projectiles from the fire damaging a local strip mall. Lovely, any comment there at this time about what's going on there in northern Florida?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, what's going on with all these explosions? What's really happening in the world, Lonnie? I mean...
Well, you know what, though? I think it's just negligence. I really believe that. I really believe it's negligence, and people really just don't care. And when you have that, you know, you're gonna have just bad situations, bad times. I don't know. I just think that we need to be a little bit more careful about what's happening in our world today. And it's sad. It's right now. You know, we just got to continue to be vigilant. If you see things, you know, Antonia Beck brought up a very, very good point about maybe 4 or 5 weeks ago about the environment. And if you see something going on in your neighborhood and you smell something wrong, you're going to call who you need, the authorities. You know, that way you don't blow up. You know what I'm saying? Just keep it real. I mean, you wonder why, you know, you got angel wings because you didn't take time to, you know, I wasn't supposed to die at that time. Well, if you took time to call somebody and say, you know what, I smell gas, maybe, you know, you'll get yourself out of hurt, harm, and danger. Now, Lovely Ellis with her story.
Thank you, Lonnie. In other news, University of Delaware, there were 72,000 people affected by hacking. The University of Delaware says employee records of 72,000 people were breached by criminal hacking, which included Social Security numbers. In a letter dated this past Monday, the university officials said it the cyber attack, which targeted the personal records of both current and former employees, including student workers. The hack exploited a vulnerability in software acquired by a vendor, university officials said. Along with Social Security numbers, the files also included names, addresses, and university ID numbers. The university took immediate corrective actions and is working closely with Federal Bureau of Investigation officials and Mandiate, a leading private computer security firm, on the issue, this letter also read, and it continued. The university continues to investigate the scope of the attack. While this forensic investigation is underway, the university is taking steps to protect itself from future cyber attacks. Anyone with UDelNet IDs and passwords can check to see if they are affected by this incident by using the IT security verification application on a special IT security response website. In addition, those affected by the hack are being offered free credit monitoring. Oh, wow. I wish I had that opportunity. I need my credit to be straightened, so maybe I can just say that my credit is all jacked up because it was hacked. But if they did hack my credit or my Social Security number, Lonnie, they would be so disappointed. They wouldn't approve for anything.
Oh, boy. You know, Lovey, don't start your mess now. We're on a news program. But you know what, though, yeah.
They would be so disappointed, Lonnie, they used my Social Security number, but that's another story.
Another story for another time. I mean, now back to the news. And this is really very concerning. And I'm going to ask Ms. Antonia Bass to further go into this story after I finish reading, if you don't mind, Lovely. In Clarksville, Arkansas, Shady Dugan rounded up the corner at Clarksville High School. He saw three students on the floor moaning and crying. In a split second, two more ran out of the nearby classroom. He's got a gun. One of them shouted as Dugan approached with his pistol drawn. Inside, he found one student holding another at gunpoint. Dugan aimed and fired 3 rounds at the gunman. Preparing for such scenarios has become common for police after a school shooting in Connecticut last December left 20 children and 6 teachers dead. But Dugan is no policeman. He is the assistant principal of this school in Arkansas, and when the classes resume in August, he will walk the halls with a 9mm handgun. Dugan is among more than 20 teachers, administrators, and other school employees in this town that will carry concealed weapons throughout their school day, making use of a little-known Arkansas law that allows licensed armed security guards on campus. After undergoing 53 hours of training, Dugan and other teachers at the school will be considered guards. The plan they've been given in the past is, well, lock your doors, turn off your lights, and hope for the best, Superintendent David Hopkins said. But as deadly incidents continue to happen in schools, he explained the district decided, hey, that's not the plan now. After the Connecticut attack, the idea of arming schoolhouses against gunmen was hotly debated across this country. The National Rifle Association declared it was the best response to serious threats. But even in the most conservative states, most proposals faltered in the face of resistance from educators or warnings from insurance companies that schools would face higher premiums. In strongly conservative Arkansas, where gun ownership is common and gun laws are permissive, no school district has ever used the law to arm teachers on the job, according to the State Department of Education. The closest was the Lake Hampton School District there in Garland County, where for years they have kept several guns locked up in the case of emergencies. But only a handful of trained administrators, not teachers, had access to the weapons. Clarksville, a community of 9,200, about 100 miles northwest of that Little Rock, is going further. Home to an annual peach festival, the town is not known for having dangerous schools, but Hopkins said he faced a flood of calls for parents worried about safety after the attack last year at the Sandy Hook Elementary in Newtown, Connecticut. Hopkins said he and the other school leaders didn't see why the district could not rely on his own staff and teachers to protect the students rather than hire someone else. We're not tying up our money in a guard 24/7 that we won't have unless something happens. We got these people who are already hired and using them in other areas, Hopkins said. Hopefully, we will never have to use them as a secure guard. State officials are not blocking Clarksville's plan, but Arkansas Education Commissioner Tom Kimbrell is opposed to the idea of arming teachers and staff. He prefers to hire a law enforcement officers as school resource officers. There are also other dissenters. Donna Morey, a former president of the Arkansas Education Association, called the idea of arming teachers awful. The risk of a student accidentally being shot or getting shot, obtaining a gun, outweighs any benefits, she said. We just think educators should be in the business of educating students, not carrying a weapon, Morey said. Participants in the program are given a one-time $1,100 stipend to purchase a handgun and holster. Hopkins said the district is paying about $50,000 for ammunition and for training at the Nighthawk Custom Training Academy, a private training facility in northwestern Arkansas. The Nighthawk training includes drills like the one Dugan participated in, with various role-playing scenarios involving shooters and on campus. Dugan and other teachers in the program practice using airsoft pellet guns, with students wearing protective face masks and jackets. The pressure is on you because you're shooting real bullets, if this actually happened, said Dugan, who has 3 children attending these Clarksville schools. I was nervous to start, but once I got started, I was going through what they had taught us, and I just took over. The training is narrowly tailored for teachers to respond to students on attack. Sydney Whitcock, who entered 7th grade this fall, says she's grown up around firearms and doesn't mind the teachers and staff are armed at the school. They're sincere. It's no big deal, said Whitcock, who is an actor in the training scenario. It's not like someone's going to know, hey, they got a firearm. The district will post signs to each school about the armed guards. But the identities of the faculty and the staff carrying weapons will be kept secret, Hopkins said. Sherry Womack said the program is one reason that she's taking her son, an incoming 8th grader, out of Clarksville schools before the school year begins. Womack said she doesn't believe teachers should make life or death choices involving students. I think police officers are trained to make those decisions, not teachers, Womack said. I want to thank my friend Chauncey Estridge and the American Associated Press for that story tonight. Oh, lovely. I was going to go to you first before I go to Antonia Bass.
You know, that story is very interesting. I mean, I think if I was a teacher at that particular school, I would love to know that I'm safe and secure with a security guard, a police officer, whomever. I mean, we've dealt with shootings in the schools, and we need to feel safe. So, honestly, I would have been okay with having a police officer or a security guard. I mean, as long as we have someone on site that can protect us.
That's right. You know what, though? We do have a caller here, lovely. We're going to put him on the air at this time, right here in Roslyn, Pennsylvania, 347-202-0392. This is News Farm with Lonnie Dudley and lovely Ellis.
Hey, guys. This is Jean
Turner.
Must
be the renowned, studious Jean Turner, who has who has joined us tonight. We are so happy to have you on the program, Jean.
Yay.
Hey.
Hi, Jean.
How
I'm
you doing?
Fine. How are you?
I'm doing good.
How you doing? Now, Jean, I know you've been listening, and definitely because you want to share some of the stories. You are a correspondent, and this is what you have listened to. Let's go to, I don't know if you were listening to the murder in New Orleans hopefully the boy will survive. 14-year-old Marshall Carter being shot by a man by the name of Mr. Landry, Merritt Landry.
I mean, that type of violence isn't going to stop anytime soon, and the only way that we can get somewhat of a handle on it is making better gun laws, because obviously these people that are obtaining these guns are the wrong people to be allowed to have them. We have too many of them, and I feel like we're just giving them out just too easy. Like, people can go into black markets and get guns. These criminals on the street, they are getting guns whatever way, it doesn't matter. But we have too many guns out, too many options for these people that are just not going to use them for protection. They're using them to hurt other people with pretty much no reason at all.
How do you feel about the, in Arkansas, the teachers said, we're going to carry these guns now? How do you feel about that?
Now, as far as that goes, I would feel more comfortable sending my child to school with armed security, because there are a lot of crazy people in the world, and it seems as though it's starting to get, you know, from a younger and younger age. So I would have no problem, you know, having my child in school with armed security guard. I just hope that they don't just want to kill these children when they act out of order. I hope that they're getting, you know, lessons on how to just stop it and not murder the child, because it has to be something psychologically wrong with the child in order for them to act out this way. And the only way for them to get help is to, you know, be alive and go to counseling and their whole life shouldn't end just because, you know, they happen to snap out.
You know, I'm going to bring on Antonia Bass at this time. Antonia, definitely with the guns in school, what is your opinion about that, for having the 20 teachers armed down there in Clarksville?
Well, they'll do what they have to do, because after all, since they do require that the American children do go to the schools of, you know, the American institutions that are provided, they should guarantee some type of reasonable degree of safety. So, you know, if they feel as though that'll work, then let it be. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Antonio, and thank you for listening tonight. We'll bring you back on. And, you know, I got more news for you right here on News Farm, being sponsored by Al's Tire Emporium. Al's Tire Emporium out of Delran, New Jersey. We want to thank you for your sponsorship of the Beverly Nation, as well as Charlie B's restaurant down there, Stenton and Johnson. We're so happy to have the sponsorship tonight here on News Farm. And now, the news. A Pennsylvania teenager was in fair condition Monday after she lay pinned inside her wrecked, overturned SUV for almost 18 hours over the weekend before a nearby resident spotted her. Brooke Spencer, 18, of the Mount Joy area, was conscious and toppled a firefighter's cutter from her 2002 Dodge Durango, which tumbled into a culvert 20 feet below the roadway sometime between 11 and 11:30 p.m. Saturday. West Hetfield Township Police said in a statement it wasn't until 5:07 p.m. Sunday that Brad Shearer noticed something glinting near his home a few yards from the accident scene in West Hempstead. "I was looking down in the driver's side window and I saw something move," Shearer told NBC station WGL of Lancaster. "She was laying on her back and moved her head, and then I could see her face. And I went, 'Oh my God, she's alive. There's someone in there,' he said." The police statement said the investigators believe Spence crossed the center line, struck a utility pole, and flew about 20 feet. The SUV landed on its front end and flipped onto its roof in the culvert. Other nearby residents heard the crash late Saturday and went looking, but they did not find anything. West Hempstead Township Police Lieutenant Douglas Over said the Intelligencer General Lancaster New Era newspaper. So Spence remained there trapped through the rest of the night, all Sunday morning, and nearly all of Sunday afternoon before Shearer came to her rescue. Over said he didn't think speed or alcohol was involved. "I'm leaning toward fatigue at this point," he said. "She's had a very busy day, just a typical 18-year-old stuff." Police would not give details of the young woman's injuries, but WGAL reported that she was in a fair condition Monday night at Lancaster General Hospital. Lovely Alice, please pertain to the story.
Wow, I mean, it's a lot of crazy stuff going on out here in the world, Lonnie. I'm like, when you first mentioned the story, I'm like, I wanted to say I'm falling and I can't get up, but that would be in bad taste. So I just didn't want to go there. But, you know, I just did.
News Farm is going another round now, I tell you that.
Wow. I'm falling and I can't get up.
Yeah, and you know what, though? If you're that tired, man, pull on the side of the road. You know what I mean? Don't put yourself in danger and then someone else in danger. She could have had someone else in the car or killed someone on that road in West Hempstead Township, Pennsylvania. Jean Turner, please pertain to that story.
Well, I mean, she's very fortunate that someone did eventually find her and see that, you know, she was still alive, called the police, and did everything that they had to do. It just leaves a lot of what ifs. What if, you know, no one came to her rescue? What if, like you said, she killed somebody or killed herself or anything like that? I mean, it just shows that things are just getting worse. And again, it's getting younger and younger. People are doing whatever to have fun and not thinking of the consequences.
Yes, indeed. And like I said, you know, we appreciate Jean listening tonight because she's actually on the poll program for the time. With the technicians really not noticing or recognizing the number, but we're so glad that Jean Turner was on the full show, lovely, and definitely entertaining us with her studious injections. And I'm going to tell you something. We do have someone on the line right now. I believe it is Mr. Blackout Johnson himself. We're so happy to have you on the program tonight. Mr. Johnson, how are you?
What's going on, so? How's everybody?
Well, how you doing, my brother? I mean, have you heard some of these stories here? I mean, you have any comments tonight?
For the second story about the girl actually running off the road, my question is, when is too tired too tired? You know, when you got to say, I'm too tired to drive. I'm too tired to actually, you know what I mean? So my thing is like, if you know that, okay, I work long hours, or, you know what I'm saying, I had a long day today, you know what I'm saying, don't drive. I mean, because soon you put your key in the ignition and pull off, you already don't care about nobody else but your own situation. You don't care about the person on the road. You don't care about whoever you hit, whatever the case may be. But if you're tired, come on, man, pull over.
That's it. And we agree with that. And Blackout, we're going to definitely come back to you a little later on in the broadcast. And, you know, lovely, I'm telling you, I mean, it's just really, I always say just retarded. That you know, driving sleepy is driving drunk. Understand that. And that is a public service announcement of Lonnie A. Beverly tonight. And now, back to the news. State officials asked the court to stop. stop a rural county from issuing marriages license to gay couples on Tuesday, nearly a week after the clerk began granting them in violation of Pennsylvania law. The petition filed by the health department in the Commonwealth Court alleges that D. Bruce Haynes, the resident of Wills in Montgomery County, repeatedly and continuously flouted the law. As of Tuesday afternoon, the county had granted 34 licenses and registered 6 same-sex marriages. There's no limit to the administrative and legal chaos that is likely to follow from the clerk's unlawful practice of issuing marriage licenses to those who are not permitted under Pennsylvania law to marry, the suit said. At the time, Haynes said he wanted to come down on the right side of history and the law. He declined to comment Tuesday on the pending litigation. The health department, which oversees marriage license for the state, said in a lawsuit that Haynes' actions are interfering with the agency's administrative responsibilities and would likely lead to legal claims for benefits. Department spokesman has also declined to comment. The developments came the same day that Republican Governor Tom Corbett's office indicated that it would defend the state's marriage laws in a separate legal challenge filed by the American Civil Liberties Union. Attorney Kathleen Kane, a Democrat who supports same-sex marriage, said earlier this month that she would not defend the state in the suit because she believes the law to be unconstitutional. On Tuesday, Corbett's general counsel wrote a letter to Kane's first deputy that the governor's office would defend the law. But general counsel James Soap said that Kane's refusal establishes a very troubling precedent. This will create chaos and uncertainty, not unlike what we are seeing in the unlawful actions of Haynes in Montgomery County, Schultz wrote. A 1996 state law defines marriage as a civil contract in which a man and a woman each take each other as husband and wife. It says same-sex marriages, even if they're entered legally elsewhere, are void in Pennsylvania. The ACLU has sued to have the law overturned. The state was granted an extension to respond to that lawsuit on Monday. Officials must now respond by September 16th. Recent polls show a majority of state residents in favor of gay marriage in Pennsylvania, even though bills to legalize it have gone nowhere in the recent years in the Pennsylvania state legislature. I'm going to Jean Turner first with this one. Jean?
Well, the first thing that I want to say is for the people that, you know, don't believe in same-sex marriages, my question for you is, do you believe in equality? Even though you don't agree that a woman should be with a woman or a man should be with a man, as long as people have fought for this and, you know, gained this, why not give them the same opportunity? They're still people themselves. They still have feelings. They still want to live life the same way that everyone else wants to live life. Everything is not traditional in the world anymore. Way back in the day, there were no computers, there was no internet, there was no technology, really. And, you know, things advance just the same way as people's love lives do. And I don't see why we still have to put so much emphasis and energy on discrimination when there are so many other problems and so many other things that we can deal with. And it's like you give people 2 steps and they have to take 17 back. I mean, we need, even if you don't believe it, we need to push this issue and make sure that they do pass as well for same-sex couples to have the same opportunities as traditional couples.
Well, you know what, though? We thank Jean Turner for that. Lovely Ellis, please expound upon that.
Yes, I feel as though that no matter what other people's opinions are in regards to same-sex couples, we are all human beings and we all have rights and we all should be treated as such. So I'm all for, you know, them going for it, what they believe in, and that they should be treated as human beings because we are all God's children in his eyes and we are all human beings, regardless of what other people feel about the relationship. We're not to judge. All we can do is make sure that we are all treated fairly in this country, and we all do have rights, so we should be honored in that way.
Well, let me tell you something. I'm going to go to the next story, and I'm going to tell you something right now. The people who are doing this, you are rotten, dirty son of a gun. You are the most rotten, dirty people I've ever seen in my life. And you're going to end up making people just sick. And I said it because you just rotten. You smell. You are funky. You ready for this? Who the hell will eat new Stealth Sim hamburgers is raising eyebrows and questions. You dirty, low-down skank. You're really all panty waist. Let me tell you something right here. The new research by Dutch Shore, Dr. Mark Post, professor of vascular physiology at the University of Massachusetts, okay, has foodies and animal activists alike raising their eyebrows. The controversy over cloned meat. You know what? I almost can't read this story, James, now, lovely. This is just ridiculous. The controversy over cloned meat has been around since Dolly the Sheep in 1996. But this new experiment is raising all sorts of new questions. Dr. Post has begun to use stem cells from a live, nasty cow to clone the muscular tissue of the animal. You nasty, rotten, you rotten, no damn, oh, I can't read this story. From the muscular tissue of an animal, that's right, no cow, just meat. You know you just meat. Lovely and G, who is going to eat it's just some meat, okay? Hope you had a light lunch, I'm saying that right now. The idea is to eventually be able to produce a meat in the lab without the use of live animals. If the idea of meat grown in a petri dish may be unappetizing, but after examining the story a little closer, lab-grown meat actually has its advantages. Now, this is what this doctor said. Now, listen to this. This rotten, low-down. The research was funded privately by an anonymous source to care for the environment, food for the world, and interest in life-transforming technologies. And this is actually a good point. The meat industry has a tremendously damaging effect on the environment. Clear cutting, rivers of manure, and foodborne diseases caused by crampled, unhealthy conditions. These animals also suffer due to overcrowding, and the light demand for meat has increased. The uses of inhumane slaughter processes. Now, lab-grown meat may also be more sanitary. You hear this guy? Given this perspective, lab-grown meat may seem like a positive change. Communities and indeed whole countries that suffer from hunger may someday have a renewable source of protein. There will also be significantly less need for deforestation, less soil contamination from manure canals, and less overcrowding from the livestock that remains from the consumption. But let me tell you something. I'm gonna tell y'all something out there. I'm gonna bring on. I know that Grady and I did a blackout. I know that Antonia back over there cracking up. Now I'm gonna have them on the line now. Lovely.
Yeah.
Jean.
I'm completely grossed out.
Jean.
That's disgusting.
Where's blackout? Jack blackout.
Where's your beef?
Hey, Tony, y'all on this line right now?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
All right. Now, I'm going to tell you something right now. You're just a bunch of rotten no account. I'm going to tell you right now. I can't believe. Look, before we bite into this delicious Frankenburger that I call it, okay, let's not forget to assess the downside. Now, this is coming from Lonnie A. Lonnie Aller, which is Beverly, your boy, your homeboy. Listen to this. First of all, who really wants to eat lab-grown meat? All right, the thought of it invokes just a visceral reaction in my stomach, okay? Others see the advantages of feet in developing countries, but would never dream of eating that shit themselves. Not to mention, there are a bunch of host of nutritional questions that will come to my mind. The nutritional values of beef depends on what it's fed, okay? So now you're cloning a corn-fed cow or grass feed, okay? I know this. That's a cow I know. I grew up on. Is this cell-grown meat going to have the same amount of protein and vitamins and nutrition as the regular natural meat? And if not, would it enrich it? Now, I'm going to tell you something that Lonnie also wants to talk about. Is there also an obvious question of whether or not meat was never really a cow, or never came from a cow, or you know, if this nasty gray meat would even taste like a cow? But let me tell you something right here. It's also unclear that eating lab-grown beef will have any long-term side effects. If lab-grown meat becomes an established practice, the separation between natural food and lab-created food runs the risk of becoming a symbol class. Can I get a witness out there? Amen. Okay? When natural food become the new organic. Now listen to what I just said. When natural food become the new organic, and then it will start raising the prices on the real food and get everybody else. Let me tell you something. If I hear one person from the ghetto talking about, you know what, you had one Big Mac for $5.99, a Big Mac meal. He said, but you's a sucker. I had me 16 clone Big Mac for 99 cents. I will smack the person that eat that clone meat and give it to their kids. Because you know you are a rotten parent to feed your kids clone meat. Now, I'm going to tell you something right now. When man created food, the mark of poverty, okay, currently the science is still in its infancy. The team focused on creating a single hamburger. Will this new science change the way we eat new food, or would a test tube burger be too much for our stomach? Love me.
Hey, Lonnie.
Wasn't created like that. It wasn't made to be like that. God had his plan set, and that's what we're doing now. We're eating actual meat. Now, for them to do that, I understand the advances in science and all that, but that's just going too far. It's just going too far.
I'm going to tell y'all something. Something to say right now, okay? And I'm going to tell y'all right now, when your child, okay, has one horn on the side of her head, right, and she talking about she can't say her ABCs, okay, she talking about ABCD, no, don't blame nobody but yourself, blame the clone meat. And we're going to go to our first caller right now, well, not our first caller, but caller number 3, you're on the air with the clone, with news form, with the man who's against clone damn meat, Mr. Lonnie Bevel.
Hello.
What's up, brother?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you loud and clear, brother. What's happening?
It's Jawan from Sheltenham, man.
What's up, man?
What's up, man? I hear you over here going off all like, yo, I feel you though, like.
So now, that's what I call panty weight. Who gonna serve nasty old clone meat that slimy to some child? Talk about, well, you know, I can't afford the $6.99 Happy Meal, but I damn sure can afford, you know what I mean, the 45 cent clone meat meal. I can't get it, man. This has got me off the rocker. It's a nasty, dirty, rotten sound like clone meat.
I told you it was gonna piss you off, man. Did I not tell you it was gonna make you mad?
Yeah, man, this is bad. I did the research, brother. I did the research. I couldn't believe it, man. Even my correspondents over here, man, laughing and thinking, it ain't funny, y'all. It ain't funny to clone damn meat.
see? But I'm going to tell you something, though. It's a necessary evil. It's a
Okay, go ahead.
Let me explain. It's a necessary evil.
Okay, go ahead.
At the end of the day, what did I say? There is more people on the face of this earth, okay, than there's ever been at any other point in time in human history. What does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
That means that the people who make the food have to come up with a way to feed all of these people. Now, back in the day when people used to hunt and gather, there was more than enough food because the hunter-gatherers, you know, they hunted every day. You know what I'm saying? Society was a lot different back then. People used to go out and hunt for their food. Nowadays, no one hunts for their food. Everybody goes to the supermarket. So what does that mean? That means basically the people who sell the food sell it as if it's a commodity. That means that they have to feed everybody. So what do? You can't feed people off of naturally grown, naturally homegrown chickens and cows and pigs and all that stuff. You have to find a way to make it better. So what do? They do what's called GMOs. Now, anyone who knows what a GMO is, for those
mm-hmm,
who don't,
mm-hmm,
genetically modified crops, genetically modified animals, genetically modified milk and whatnot. And basically what they're doing is they're allowing these animals, like chicken, perfect example. Chickens,
mm-hmm,
in order to raise, the old farmers from back in, not even a century ago, they used to raise chickens naturally. So it would take a chicken about five, six months to fully develop, and you would get maybe a few, sort of how much you get out of a chicken, I don't know. Perhaps like feeding maybe three or four people, you know, fully sized people. Now, they grow chickens to damn near twice the size they used to be, so much so that these chickens can't even walk properly. They basically sit around all day. There's twice as much meat, if not more. And they grow it in half the time. Now, anyone who knows, you know, saying will tell you that's not natural. And part of it is profit because, you know, they have to make a profit. But part of it is because there's a lot more people eating now. You know, so we have to find a way to feed those people. How do you think that McDonald's gets away with selling, you know, over a million McChickens a day and cheddar onion burgers and double McDoubles and all that shit? You can't do that at the rate that they're doing it off naturally grown meat. You have to genetically modify it. Those advances in science have allowed people to genetically modify these animals to grow at way bigger than what they're supposed to be, produce a lot more meat, and do it in half the time. It's not feasibly possible for you to sell chicken for a dollar, a McChicken sandwich for a dollar, or McDouble for a dollar at the rate that they eat. It's cheap food. That's what it is. It's cheap food.
I'm going to go along with you there. I understand the GMO process. And what happens is a lot of times with the supermarkets and, of course, also a lot of fast food, that is how they stay in business. That's granted. And I want to thank the brother. Hey, Juwan, thank you so much for Shelton Hammer calling and being so studious tonight. And I still think the Rotten Dirty Scoundrels with the nasty green meat, they're going to hell for that, brother. They're going to hell.
Yo, look, man, I understand your pain, dog. When I first found out.
Hold on, get over. You put it back on. Hold on a second. Here we go. And come back on. Hey, Juwan, go ahead. Say what you had to say, brother. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, no. Look, man, I heard you over here snapping, man. I had to, you know, you were going off, man. And I feel your pain, but at the same time.
Well, look, brother, I want to thank you for coming on. And, you know, me and you going to get back together. You know, we're always going to talk about what's going on and around this world. And it's always good to have young men in the studios, man, to come on and be able to share what the GMO process is. And I'm gonna go first to my host, Lovey Ellis, man. You know, GMO processes are what rule the world. And I'm not gonna go into different. You know, we were joking about McDonald's. You know, no stress for McDonald's. You know, they're a big time company. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, GMO process is what is happening with your turkeys. Now, people go to church. You know, we're giving out turkeys. I guess you are. All the turkeys, big old turkeys, you giving out. You know what I mean? You notice these turkeys bigger than butterballs now. I remember when Lancaster brand, you know, here in Philadelphia, was a little small turkey. Now, that they biggest. You can feed 20 people off that one turkey. But it's different between GMOs, okay, and what these nasty, dirty son of a guns are doing with this nasty green looking gray looking like peppers. There ain't no peppers in their meat. Lovely elves.
Lonnie, I just got a text from Jeffrey Osborne with the new remix to the story. It's called Can You Move, Move, Move?
Listen, that's gonna be the song of the little girl going to third grade. Like I said, when a horn come out of her head talking about ABC, that's what she was going to say.
That is so funny, Lonnie. You know, now you know Kentucky Fried Chicken. I heard they actually changed the name to KFC because the chicken was not actual chicken; it was genetically cloned meat.
Well,
so they
right. Well, not genetically cloned. It's a GMO. It's a genetically modified. So I when you get in trouble with you gotta be careful. You know, I know when you get in trouble with these organizations. But the fact of the matter is that this nasty cloned meat is a problem. And we got to be careful, you know what I mean? We got to make sure we're eating, fresh foods, because I know KFC's done a better job with their chicken, now going back to Kentucky Fried Chicken now. So they actually serve the chicken now, so we're proud of them. But the fact of the matter is that this hamburger, this nasty clone hamburger, y'all nasty. You're just nasty, nasty. And it's always coming from Europe. You know what I mean? Don't you know that's the beginning where the Black Plague comes from? We don't want that stuff over here, you nasty, just scoundrel, Gene Turner.
Not much that I can say on that one. I mean, it's nasty. Now, like you said, it is necessary. It's necessary. When you think about it a little bit, it is necessary, but doesn't change the fact that it's nasty.
Unbelievable. You know what I mean? So, like I said, be careful. You know what I mean? You don't mess around, man. Get the six saver meal. You know what I mean? For $4.99, and then you got one eyeball and one nostril in your nose and one in why you can't smell the way you want to. Now, on a better note, you know what, Antonia Bass? I know you've been hearing me. Tony, they rockin'. They rockin'. And I brought up a good point, a very intellectual point. Okay, regular food that we eat now become the organic food. The food that, you have to pay almost a half a dollar. I mean, more than, you know what I mean? Usually it would cost you $5, now it's costing you $10. And I can feel it happening, Antonia.
Oh, yes, it's sad. It's time to become a vegetarian. And I've been observing some of the meatless meals, and they're starting to look more appealing.
Did you hear what Lovely said? Would you like to have a hamburger? Shut up, Lovely.
What she said about the hamburger?
She said, would you want a hamburger? Stop it, Lovely. Stop. Let Antonia talk.
I like your joke about that text that came over, boy. That had me rolling.
So, just like I said, it's good times to be able to laugh about these things, but, and I know that great companies like McDonald's and Kentucky Fried Chicken, I know they're not doing that type of stuff. But the fact of the matter is that it's just people, man. The nasty, 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 nasty. It's just nasty. And now it's time for good news. I don't know, people might have thought that was good news having a nasty hamburger, but it's all right. Good news. And good news is sponsored by L.A. Beverly Enterprises of the Beverly Nation. You know what I mean? Trust us with your business. And now we're going to something. Most 10-year-olds are stressed about the big move to middle school. But not Luis Alvarez. The little boy from Mexico says he wants to head to Harvard, okay? Yes, we mean the renowned institute and university in Cambridge, Massachusetts. He would like to study quantum physics. The aspiring entrepreneur reports wants to launch his own company to improve social networking and technology after graduation. When he, as right now, 16, his interests are not limited to science and engineering. However, at just 5 years of age, the young genius taught himself English, French, and Mandarin Chinese. We don't use these terms genius lightly either. The kid was tested, and he literally has an IQ on par with Albert Einstein. And we are feeling good about getting to work on time this morning. You know what I mean? I love that. Correction. His age is 16. It is 16. And so we're just glad to hear this young man, okay, you know, do his thing, you know what I mean, wants to go to Harvard University. This young man is 10 years old. 10 years old. And already on his way to college. So don't tell me what the mind can't do. You know what I mean? Even if you have kids, man, at home, try to do the best they can, okay, at all times, you got to be in your kid's life. Both his parents are in his life, and both his parents have struggled in Mexico, have been able to make it into this country, and he's taken full advantage of the education. And I get tired of kids always talking about, you know, man, it's no, ain't nothing out here, yo, you know what I'm saying? Yo, man, yo, I don't know what I'm going to do. No, you trying to be like, you know, the videos on TV, and you want to put tattoos all over your face, and, you know, you think you Lil Wayne or something. No, Lil Wayne got his cut, okay? Now, you know what I mean, can't get a job, or maybe it's Maybelline. Lovely, Ellis. That was good news on the Beverly Nation. I'm going to go through, you know what, before I go to Lovely Ellis and before I go to Antonia Bat, and before I go to Grady McGee, I'm going to go to Gene Turner at this time. And you know what I mean? Maybe it's Maybelline.
All right, now, that's awesome. That's awesome. And it just goes to show that your kids can be interested in education, and although he's known as a genius, even for these kids out here who are not that smart, they still have the potential to be smart, to be, you know, educated, well-educated, and look at school like that. And I want to know what the parents did to, you know, have their child so interested and have him find his full potential in making the best of his life and, you know, everyone else's life. To be 10 years old and head to college, that's just amazing. That's amazing.
Money. Yes, indeed. We're gonna go to thank you, Gene, and thank you for your outstanding correspondence tonight. You know, Blackout Johnson. I hope you're still there, man. I hope you ain't had nothing that close.
Yeah,
how you feel, brother?
Well, it starts like what Gene said. It actually started from home. Yeah, I mean that's where the main thing started from. It starts from home. If the parents, you know, take the initiative to put to sow into your kids. You know what I'm saying? That's where it comes out. They can be geniuses. You know what I'm saying? But that's where it starts. It starts from home first. You know what I mean? A lot of the kids that they go home with homework. You know what I mean? Most of the time, parents don't know how to do their homework, and they won't help them with it at all. Or most of the time, they're not there. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
You know, you take your time out and put yourself into your kids. You know what I'm saying? Sow into your kids, you'll get geniuses. You know? I think every kid has opportunity. They all have the opportunity, but it just starts with the home. Starts with the home team first.
Yes, indeed. And you know what? We're glad to have you back full throttle, Brother Johnson. And, of course, you'll be hearing from us very, very shortly with Writer's Pen with Gene Turner with correspondent Blackout Johnson very, very soon on the Beverly Nation. Antonia Bass, how are you tonight? And give us a final thought. You know what I mean? Stay away from that clone meat. You'll be wonderful and eat vegetables. Go ahead, Tony.
Well, I cut back on the fast food myself, surprisingly, for a band of months now. But I would love to wean myself off of it completely if they continue to clone meat. Congratulations to KFC for bringing it up to par and realizing that people have heard about your chicken, because my mother harps on the subject of getting rid of the thought of even buying her any from here on. And congratulations to the child. And to the parents who had a sense of direction and realizing that it's more to life than sitting around going along with everything out here except for the educational process, that they know that they have a responsibility to their child to be able to pursue. Thank you.
And you know what? Thank you, Tony. I mean, I really, like I said, you know, I know last night you were very fatigued last night. You did a hell of a job last night. Yes, the situations with family, you took care of those situations. I'm very proud of you. And, you know, like I said, with those things being very fatigued, you still gave a very, very good show. And basically, the story I gave tonight on the car crash, you know, Tony really, really got into depth last night about, you know, transportation safety. Okay, this young lady, like Blackout Johnson said, she didn't care about nobody but herself. Okay? Driving tired is driving drunk. And we just want to thank, you know, both Blackout Johnson coming on and expounding upon what he loves to do. And, of course, the ever-present Antonia Best from Peru Vision Monday night, 9:30 Eastern Daylight Time, right here on the Beverly Nation and blogtalkradio.com. Lovely Ellis.
Yes, Lonnie, I have a confession. Since you went on and leaked the story about the clone meat, it kind of put a monkey wrench in what I was planning to do. I was going to have an actual cookout and invite you all with the clone meat, but since you already put it out.
You know what? I'm putting people back on the air right now. I can't believe it. I'm putting Shutterhead back on the air. I'm putting Blackout Johnson back on the air. Listen, I'm going to tell all y'all something right now. Gene and Jawan and Blackout and Tony, did you hear this woman say she's going to invite us over with the clone meat?
I thought we were family.
I was going to have a cookout with the clone meat.
You need Al Sharpton to come out here to heal, and you need Al Sharpton to come out here since he don't got no church. He can probably pray for you. But what man?
I thought she loved us, man. We family, you know. You don't see the
family.
Yeah,
man, we family nation. Wait, hold on, y'all. I want the quietest person on this line right now. Gene Turner. Did you hear what Lovely Ellis said about she gonna feed us the cold meat?
Come on, don't knock it till you try it.
Listen, truth be told, if y'all ain't fast food, y'all ain't clone meat. If y'all have ever ate fast food before, you have eaten clone meat.
You know what?
Now, don't knock it till you try it. Don't knock it till you try it. I just wanted to see if y'all could tell the difference. I was going to have a cookout this summer.
You know what? Do me a favor, folks. In the vicinity here in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, where we come out of Roslyn, stay away from Lovely Ellis' house at this time. But we want to thank everybody that's been on our show tonight. The outstanding Antonia Bass, Blackout Johnson, my brother Jawan over there in Shuttleham, PA. Want to thank him as well. Also, of course, Lovely Ellis doing a great job for us. And, of course, look, Gene Turner, who's been doing great job with me for since April now, Gene? It's like a long time, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Gene's still there? Yeah, it's been a long time. We've been doing this news forum together since April. So I want to thank you for all of what you put down, your great writing skills and great commentary. And Lovely, you just add to our team, our formidable team here in Roslyn Valley, Pennsylvania. I'm going to tell you the lineup for this week, and I'm going to put Antonia back on the edge for a second, and as well as Brother Blackout Johnson, who are our Beverly Nation family, and I put it back on. Grady and Sister Tony, are you there?
Yes.
Yeah, we're here. What's going on?
All right, here we go. Tomorrow we have a dose of Sportsology by our brother sports director, Kenneth Lozada, and it will be 12 noon tomorrow here on blogtalkradio.com, the greatest internet network in the world, via the Beverly Nation. And then we get our girl back on the air, Miss, and I mean Miss, Aaliyah Love, and she's going on the attack again for seniors. You know, I'm telling you, she's going to be on the air on Thursday night, 9:30, blogtalkradio.com, okay? So please be in order, because, you know, she can end up probably saying anything she wants to say, so we just got to watch her. But and we love Sister Aaliyah. I'm going to let everybody know out there, and I want all my Beverly Nation family to hold me up in prayer, because on Friday, I will have my first interviewing show in the history of Beverly Nation. So the CEO will be on the air, okay, and it's called Lonnie Beverly Presents, and it's on Friday night. I'm only doing it once a month, and it's on Friday night, August 12th here. I'll be interviewing a young lady by the name of Precious Sharon Patterson, who is an outstanding spoken word poet. She's the author of many books, and also she's a hip-hop artist. And she actually did a rhyme on my show Merc City back in the day, and she put it down where the brothers A.G. and Cruz, the illest, they couldn't say anything on it. They were like, oh, my God, she wow. Now, you know it takes a lot to make them quiet. She came off like she was like Jean Grey or something and just destroyed stuff. You know what I'm saying? So we're definitely proud to have Precious Young Patterson on in the first half hour of my show and then on the second half hour. What more can I say, lovely Jean, Tony, and Blackout? And Blackout, you know, Blackout been saying, man, I can hear Blackout saying that, man, I'm so proud of you, man. You know what I mean? Lonnie, you something else. All right, shut up, Blackout. I know where this is going to go. The second half hour, I'm interviewing a person that without her, there will be nobody on this phone right now, okay? Without her, there would be no Beverly Nation, okay? It is Mrs. Ricky R. Jones, the young lady that started with me at Halcyon Days Productions on October 4th of last year. And she has branched out into her own thing in Atlanta, Georgia. Okay, CareerRhythms.com with TuneIn Radio of Atlanta, Georgia. And her name of her show is, of course, everyone knows on BlogTalkRadio.com, was Hands and Footprints, What Is Your Legacy. So I'm very, very proud to have the young lady that, without her, and I give people, I told you, I always give people to do what we're supposed to do, you know, where you're supposed to give, you know, their flowers while they're living. If it wasn't for me and Ricky doing the hard work last year, there would be all these great hosts I have on the air right now. It just wouldn't be Lovely. It wouldn't be Gene. It wouldn't be Antony. It wouldn't be Blackout. It wouldn't be No Beverly Nation. So I'm so proud to have Ricky Jones as one of my first interview prospects on Lonnie Beverly Presents 9 o'clock p.m. Friday night, blogtalkradio.com. How you feel about that, Gene Turner? Gene, you still there?
Yeah, sorry about that.
Yes, indeed. How you feel about me doing my first interview show?
I think that would be a very, very good segment. Can't wait to hear, you know. Whew.
Yes, indeed.
I know you're going to
get into it. Yes, thank you.
I know you're
going
to get into it.
Yes, indeed. I appreciate that. And, of course, Antonio, how you feel about me finally getting my interview show off the hook?
This ought to be interesting. Look forward to hearing it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And Blackout Johnson, I know. Just say something nice.
You already know, brother. I've been wanting to see the Ricky and Lonnie. You know what I'm saying? I've been wanting to hear that. So, yeah, I mean, that's what's up. Y'all better tear it down.
You,
that's all I know. Y'all better tear it
down.
Don't worry.
You know how we do on the air. And lovely Ellis, what more can I say? Just having a show that two people that I really admire, one a fabulous, fabulous poet who has written over 25 books and 5 books that she hasn't even completed yet. You know what I mean? She calls themselves the Red Books, and I mean, she's working on them right now. And then what more can I say about the person who helped me build this franchise that is the Beverly Nation, Miss Ricky Jones. Lovely.
You know what I'm saying, Lonnie? You like the bomb.com. I just want to see you blow up.
You know what? You know what? I'm going to tell you something right now. For lovely Alice, Gene Turner, Antonia Bass, Blackout Johnson, and my man, Jawan from Cheltenham, Pennsylvania, this is Lonnie Aloysius Beverly bidding you good night and good luck.